Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where's the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there among them, or ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, happy pre-New Year to each and every, is that a word, happy pre-New Year, every one of you? We'll make it a word, Well, listen, I want to, it's amazing how God sees us through. God has been with you 51 weeks out of the year, and this last Sunday today is no different. And so today I want to talk to you around the theme, faith for the finish line. Faith for the finish line. Won't you pray with me? Dear God, we are so grateful for the many ways that you move within our lives. We don't take this moment for granted of how you have moved in such miraculous ways that for some of us just to be here is a miracle, to be here in this space worshiping you, talking about the goodness of God. Wow, that is our miracle today. And so we just stand on the belief. We pray this prayer so many times, but God, I stand on the belief, especially today, that when the word goes out, it shall not come back void. For God, this is our hope and prayer. In Christ's name we pray, amen, amen. Faith for the finish line. There's a story that has gone viral over the past few weeks or the past few days surrounding the words from a former CEO from the company of Nokia. Now, the speech occurred years ago, but I think it's resurfaced over the past few days. And in the speech, he is addressing the recent buyout of the company. And as he is reflecting back on their work, he admitted that they didn't do anything wrong, but somehow they still lost. That his words brought him and many of his colleagues to tears. It brought them to tears. I mean, they weren't involved in any scandals or cover-ups, but their major mistake was that they didn't learn and change along the way. They didn't seize the many opportunities they had to learn and to grow and to develop and to be open to evolving. They started off really strong. But even he admitted that they couldn't finish strong. So I want to use a familiar narrative as a lens to talk about how we view the close of one year and how we plan to open up another year. Because every year, in some ways, it is a journey. It is an invitation to how we start and to how we finish. Every year, it is a journey of 365 days, 52 weeks, and 12 months, filled with everything imaginable and unimaginable. There were some things that you could plan for in 2023, and there were some things that happened in your life that you did not plan for. And yet, here we are. 365 days, 52 weeks and 12 months, filled with gains, filled with losses, joy and sorrows, tears and laughter. It's a journey that's nearly impossible without faith. In fact, many people start off real strong. They start off with a lot of great intentions. They start off with a lot of vigor and excitement. They start off with plans. They're going to do this new diet. They're going to do this. They're going to join this gym. They're going to change this about themselves. A lot of us, we start off the year really, really strong. We start off the year with a lot of resolutions. In fact, some of us have the same resolutions every single year, and we are committed to them. We're committed to them. But that's how we start off. We start off the year with excitement. But how can we develop the faith that lasts beyond the moment of excitement, and how do we develop the faith that gets us to the discipline of finishing strong? Because what better story to highlight the faith needed to reaching any finish line than the Magi in Matthew 2 that set out on this long journey to see Jesus? I mean, if faith really is essential to us finding out or to us finishing out the year, or seeing anything through to completion, their journey reminds us that faith is not a race. I mean, remember, these were not overly religious people coming to worship Jesus. These were not people who had a deep understanding of Jewish laws and tradition. They were not part of the elite or inner circle. They were mere outsiders that were willing to take a journey. And I don't know if this was part of the plan or if they knew this going into it, but it is believed that their journey took them up to 2 whole years. So after 2 years of journeying, they finally arrive in Bethlehem. After 2 years, their goal was still the same. After 2 years, they still had these symbolic gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to offer and to give to Jesus. And yet, nowhere in our discussion do we devalue the impact of their journeys because of the chronological order of their arrival? I mean, some could suggest that they have arrived fashionably late. I mean, this has taken them 2 whole years. Now, I've heard of making an entrance, but this is absolutely ridiculous. Who shows up to a wedding shower 2 years or to a baby shower 2 years later? But let's be honest, they were not the first people that arrived. I mean, if this was a race to get to Jesus, they would have lost. If this was a race, their journey would have been one of failure. If this was a race, we would be discussing and comparing them to everyone that crossed the finish line before them. Because chronologically, the shepherds beat them by a long shot. And we don't know this for certain, but surely these were not the only people that visited Jesus the first 2 years of his birth. And yet, nowhere do we devalue their journeys because of the chronological order of their arrival. In fact, we do the exact opposite. We sing song about the wise men and the magi. We depict them in our nativity scenes. But we don't devalue their gifts. We don't devalue their presence. We don't devalue their journeys, their efforts, their wisdom, or even their expression of faith. We don't ascribe value to their arrival time. Why? Because we know that it wasn't a race. Because the mere fact that they showed up makes their story worthy of being told. In fact, think of it like this. Does this scene look familiar? Have you ever been to an airport or any place of transportation for that matter, and you needed an update on your arrival or departure time? Well, if you have, you probably ended up in front of a screen that looked like this with hundreds of times. I mean, you saw planes coming and leaving from different cities. And each of these cities came with different expectations of time. Some came early and some came later. In fact, some flights had even been delayed. And yet, when you see all of the different times, naturally we don't ascribe value just to the earlier times. In some ways, it wouldn't be fair because some flights come from greater distances. Some cities have more flights coming in and out. Some are hubs. It wouldn't be fair to compare because each has a different journey. And not only do we not ascribe value to the varying times, but for the most part, we ignore most of the times. Hundreds of times that we see, hundreds of times and planes arriving and departing, and we're ignoring them and we're bypassing them. We overlook all of the arrival and departure times because in most instances, whose time are we focused on? So whose time is most important to you? You mean to tell me that you bypass all of those times and all of those gates, because whose time should you be focusing on? Whose time should you be focusing on? Are we going somewhere? Too bad. We don't use that same discipline to regulate our personal lives. Too bad we leave the discipline at the airports and don't incorporate them into our spiritual journeys, because one of the most dangerous and unhealthy practices we can participate in is comparing our journeys and times to someone else. Too often we approach our walk with God and our journeys of faith as if it was a race, as if chronological orders were the most important thing. Who got there first? Who finished first? Who's further ahead? Who's progressing faster? And unfortunately, we start assigning value to our journeys and others based on unfair expectations of time. But whose time should you be focusing on? That's it. See, this might disappoint some of you. But the only person that you are racing with is yourself. Because everybody has different journeys and everybody has different starting points and different destinations. Everybody has a different interpretation of when they arrive and when they part. God has a different arrival plan for each and every one of us, so you cannot put or ascribe value to when you arrive to something based on the time frame of someone else. In fact, the people who showed up last in the text had the most to offer. Chronologically, they showed up last, but they showed up with gold and frankincense and myrrh. Why? Because faith to finish, it is not a race. It is not when you get there. Because the only time you should be worried about is whose? Is yours. Because in some ways, their arrival time is quite admirable. You see, we really only tell one side of the story. Year after year, we keep reminding the world about these travelers that come to Bethlehem bearing gifts. But in some ways, when we only focus on the destination, I think we shortchange the totality of their journey. Because if I only give you a picture of the destination, then I don't adequately portray the amount of faith and perseverance it takes to actually get there. If we only focus on what they had to bring, I can unintentionally leave out all of the things they had to overcome, and we make their journey seem so simple. When you see them in the nativity scenes, they look so serene and peaceful. I mean, in most nativity scenes, they are well-dressed. Their hair is in place. Their clothes are clean. It looks as though they just got off the plane. They're freshened up. They grab their bags, and they caught an Uber to Bethlehem. We make it seem so simple. But they had been journeying for 2 whole years. And it's important to include their entire journey, not just their destination, because what we bring is dependent on the reality of our ability to endure and overcome. We must ask ourselves, is our faith strong enough to persevere? It's not a question about gifts, but a question about resolve. You see, we see the gold, and we see the frankincense, and we see the myrrh, and we value their gifts. But that's only one part of the story. I mean, we don't hear about the arguments that they may have had along the way. Because you know how it is traveling with some people that you love for a few hours. Can you imagine 2 whole years? Oh, yeah, we see the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, but we don't see moments when they second-guessed themselves. We don't see the times that they were rained on or got scared. We don't see the valleys and the hills they had to climb. We don't see the times that they wanted to give up and turn around. And I'm sure during those 2 years, there was always a reason to turn around. They could have turned around when they really considered how different they would be from the people in Bethlehem. They could have given up and turned around when they consider whether or not they would be accepted and received by this new king. They could have given up or turned around when they gave in to fear about this request to see the new king and what would the current king say. I mean, at every turn, there was always a reason for them to give up and turn around. So let's make this plain. In your life and on your journey, there will always be a reason to give up and turn around. There will always be some difficulties on every single journey that is worth taking in your life. But arriving to any destination or completing anything, it requires more than just the right gifts, but the right resolve. Because following God's direction and reaching any finish line, it requires a certain level of perseverance. It requires a decision, not a feeling, a decision to keep going, a decision to press through, a decision to stick to the plan, a decision to keep staring at the star in front of them as they journey through difficult places, as the days and the weeks and the months and the years start to add up. There's got to be something in your life that makes you keep going. And the reason why many people has given up is because they no longer have that thing in front of them that keeps them moving. In fact, there's a woman, Florence Chadwick, that was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. So she set her eyes on swimming even greater distances. Now, one particular morning, she got in the water to break another record, but the fog was really heavy. The fog was really thick that day. And hour after hour, she swam her best. She swam the best as she could with all of her family and large numbers of people watching her and cheering her on. And after swimming for nearly 16 hours, somebody say 16. After swimming for nearly 16 hours, all she could see was a thick layer of fog. Her body started to numb. People tried to encourage her from boats nearby. Her mother, her trainer, they kept telling her that the finish line wasn't much farther, and they urged her not to quit. But after nearly swimming for 16 hours, somebody say 16. After swimming for nearly 16 hours, she gave up. And she demanded that they pull her out of the water after being in there for over 16 hours. When they pulled her out, she quickly learned that she was less than a mile from finishing. She gave up too soon. In fact, when asked by a reporter of what happened, she said, "Look, I'm not excusing myself. But if I could have seen land, I might have made it." It was not the fatigue or even the cold water that defeated her. It was the fog. It was the inability to see what was in front of her. It was the inability to see something or to see the finish line. It was the inability to see what was on the other side of the fall. It's sometimes when you don't have that thing that helps you to keep going and to press forward, we give up too soon. So as you look back at another year, what are the things that God has tried to keep in front of you? Maybe you didn't call them goals or resolutions, but God placed something in front of you to help you keep going. For these magi, it was the star that was bright enough to move them and motivate them over two whole years. So my prayer for each of you is not just that God will give you gifts or that God will just bless you with things, but God will bless you with something in your life that would help you to keep moving. My prayer for each of you is that God will send you a star. God will send you a sign, a symbol, a reason, a why, a purpose, a connection, a goal, an assignment, a word, something so bright that it motivates and moves you for 365 days and 52 weeks and 12 months. My prayer is for the kind of faith that helps you see beyond the fall, because people don't give up because they're tired. They don't give up just because they are without faith, but they are just without the kind of faith that helps them to see beyond the fog and the joy that is beyond what they are experiencing in a moment. Because what a shame it would be for us to give up when we are a half a mile away from finishing. But notice what happens when they get to the destination. We're almost done. Notice what happens when they get to the destination. In fact, I find this one of the most encouraging and challenging parts of their journey every single year when we talk about the Magi, because after traveling through who knows what for two years, they bring their gifts. Somebody say 2 years. 2 years. Why? They bring their gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. They've been traveling for two. That's a long time to travel, y'all. They offer Jesus their gifts. And then they go right back home. That's a long time to travel, to not linger. That's a long time to travel and then have to go right back home. They arrive, they worship, they're filled with joy, and then they have to do it all over again. Maybe it's a reminder that the ending of one journey is always the start of your next journey. Because faith is never finished. God is always inviting us to another journey. You might think you're done, and then here comes God with something else. We're always challenged to keep learning and evolving. I mean, when they come see Jesus, yes, they offered their gifts, but now they have another long road ahead of them. After 2 years, they have to start all over again. After 2 years, they have to get right back on the road. After 2 years, now they have to do a new journey with new roads, new routes, new timetables after 2 years. But maybe that is the definition of grace. Because grace gives us new journeys. Grace gives us fresh starts. Grace gives us new opportunities to start again. Regardless of how 2023 went, you get to do it all again. You get a fresh start. And sometimes we doubt God's ability to press restart or to give us fresh starts in our lives. And yet each day and each year is an opportunity for God to do something new in your life. But sometimes it takes a new year for us to really embrace the grace that God is trying to offer to us. But I believe that's at the heart of faith. At the heart of faith is God's willingness to help us start again. and reflect on where God has brought us. Reflect not on just the things that we've done, but it is having faith enough to know that God gives us the faith to turn the page, regardless of how good or how difficult the year was. God gives us the ability to turn the page, because what a travesty it would be for another year to go by and we're still stuck in the same place, because the text says they went back a different way. Man, this journey is confusing. It's taken 2 years to get to where they've never gone. They don't stay for a long time. And now the Lord wants them to go back a totally different way, because they warned in a dream about Pharaoh. So they committed to returning home, but this time they are going to take a different route. And just stay with me, because this is all grace, because the faith for the finish line gives us the confidence that if God brought us through one journey, then God can also bring us through another one. Even if this journey looks different, even if this journey takes us on a different route, even if this journey has its own unique trials and tribulations and joys and sorrows, and I'm not sure what 2024 will bring to you. I'm not sure what 2024 holds for each one of us, but the simple fact that you are here, it means that you made it through something. And we trust that wherever this new road leads, Wherever the new road leads. Because the temptation is for God to send us on the exact same road. But God is not a God of syndication. God is not a God of reruns. God actually wants you to experience the newness that is available to each one of us. But it's having the faith to not just start strong and excited and vigor and talk about how good God is. But it's the kind of faith that sees us through 365 days. The kind of faith that sees you through 52 weeks. The kind of faith that sees us through 12 months when nobody's asking you about resolutions, when nobody's asking you about your plan, when nobody's asking you about your goals. It is having the perseverance and the resolve to stick to whatever God's design and will for your life is, even when the journey gets hard. And we don't need gold and frankincense and myrrh for the finish line. But I think what God is offering us on this last Sunday of 2023 is the kind of faith that sees us through the difficult journeys that we face, whether there will be journeys of joy and sorrow, of hope or difficulties. It is not the kind of faith that just starts off strong. Anybody can have that. But we want the kind of faith that helps us to finish strong. Won't you pray with me? God, you know what each and every person is going through in this moment. You know the kind of year they had. You know the kind of year their family has had. You know the kind of year that they've had on their jobs. And there's some things that happened in 2023 that we planned for, but most of it happened, the things that we never could have even imagined. And so it's not the certainty that we hold on to. It's not the certainty of details. It is not the certainty of information. But sometimes it is the uncertainty of another year that makes us hold on to you even tighter. It is the uncertainty of the journey that helps us focus on you even harder. Because there's some roads that we've never gone down before. There's some places and some things we've never experienced before. So we can't rely on that. But But it is the brightness of your presence, the brightness of your love, the brightness of your grace that shines so bright that even when we think about giving up, even when it seems like there's nothing but fog around us, and even when we think about asking somebody to pull us out of the water, pull us out of our situation, pull us out of this journey, we focus so much on your presence that it just gets us through another day. And the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. So continue to bless us. But more importantly, continue to keep us and to help us persevere as we open ourselves up to an exciting new year. In your name we pray. Amen.